Thank you for taking the time to be gathered here today. The Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews in chapter 10 and verse 25, it says, "Not forsaking the assembly of yourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another so much more as you see the day approaching." And so I just wanted to thank you today for today's obedience to be gathered together here in this place. Thank you. And again, that verse goes on to talk about exhorting one another. When you begin to look throughout the New Testament at the number of one another's, there's over 100 one another's just in the New Testament alone. And so it dawned on me, rather than try to share them all with you, to say this: you can't fulfill the one another's in the Bible unless you're in community with God's people. So it's important for us to do that. And then to experience and to receive the blessing of what it means to be in community, and the blessing of those one another's as they spill out of someone else's life into your own life, and then vice versa as you bless others. And so thank you today for gathering and making the community of faith a priority. You know, we've been in a long season of walking through two very important prophetic books of the Bible. We started in January with Revelation. We finished that up somewhere along the first part of July. And since July to now, we have been in the book, the Old Testament book of Daniel. And we're about to come to the end of that time and that season. We're going to be in chapter 12 today. And starting next week and extending on into the new year, Lord willing, I always want to preface it with Lord willing, as the Bible teaches us. We'll be shifting gears and moving back into some topical subjects. First and foremost, namely Jesus, all things Jesus, as we enter into the Christmas season. So we're going to talk about all things Jesus for a few weeks. And then beginning in January, we're going to be doing a focus on family. And then after that, we'll see where the Lord leads. We may drop back into another topic or into another expository look into the book of the Bible. But we're going to be doing that here coming up. But today we're going to be in Daniel chapter 12. You might want to get your Bibles ready over to Daniel chapter 12 because that's what we're going to be examining. And I've said for a few weeks that these last three chapters of Daniel, and in fact, Daniel chapter 7 through 12 are really a cataloging of the prophetic history that God gave to Daniel through visions and dreams and revelations and episodes and different things. As you're reading through that, there's lots of very fantastic things to be learned and understood from those chapters in the book of Daniel. But specifically, these last three chapters, 10, 11, and 12, are about the future. And I've said that for a few weeks, just trying to reinforce that. And specifically, not only just the future from Daniel forward, but what we're going to be looking at today is really our future. The future from where we are to where things are going to wind up, where things are going. These chapters are also really an unbroken conversation in spite of the verse and chapter designations. They are an unspoken conversation / revelation to Daniel from an angelic messenger about what will be happening, as of course, down the road from Daniel and down the road from us. What you and I need to know about the future, our questions, our curiosities need to start with the revelation that comes to us out of God's word, out of your Bible. You want to know what's going to be happening in God's tomorrow? Open up the scriptures. If you're spending money with the psychic network, put your money back in your pocket. If you're hoping in tea leaves, do yourself a favor, just boil them and enjoy the taste. Don't read the tea leaves, but read God's word. That's my point. Read God's word. you're going to be better off in the long run for having done so. Here in chapter 12, there's a picture being developed about the future that I believe you and I, right now, in this moment, in this season, need to pay very close attention to. The things set forth in this particular chapter are things that are yet to come for us, for you, for your friends and your neighbors, for your family, for all men and women and boys and girls on the face of the earth. These verses, this chapter in particular, also partners up with other prophecies that are found especially in the books of Matthew, the latter chapters of Matthew. We might reference a few of those today. 1 and 2 Thessalonians, and of course, the book of Revelation. And if we have some time, we might look at a few of those verses. This is what should have our attention, though, day in and day out, is what is between the margins of this book. That is what should have our attention. Because herein in the scriptures affords us a view into things that are going on now, a perspective on those things, how we should live in light of them, and of course, what's going to be taking place in the time hereafter. So I'm saying allow the Bible, and particularly this chapter we are examining, to speak for itself. I was thinking about a text coming out of the chapter, because this chapter is a pretty exciting chapter. You know, when they say save the best for last, well, I think that applies to the book of Daniel. I mean, personally, I think chapter 12 is the last chapter. I think they've saved, you know, a lot of the best for last. But please, if you would allow the scriptures to speak to you this morning as we examine them and unpack them. So what we've been doing in the past few weeks is I'll start reading the chapter, and then when we get down to the verse, that's the text, I would have you stand and we'll read that text, we'll pray, and then we'll press on from there. Well, the text is really early on in Daniel chapter 12. It's verse 4. So we're going to start in Daniel chapter 12, verse 1. When we get to verse 3, go right ahead and stand to your feet and we'll read verse 4 together. Daniel chapter 12, starting at verse 1. The word of God says this, "And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to the same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. And many of them that slept in the dust of the earth shall awaken, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever." And then verse 4, reading together, "But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased." Lord, today, as we've opened up your holy sentence, Lord, and have prefaced that with a few comments this morning, but Lord, we want to focus in on what you are speaking today to us out of your word. Once again, we welcome your presence, the presence of your spirit to lead and guide and direct us into truth. And Father, we're thankful for truth today. Make it a premium, Lord, spilled out upon us, Lord. Make it extravagant, Lord, as it flows over our hearts and minds and into that place where you've designed it into our life. We'll be careful to thank you in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said amen. Amen. Go ahead and be seated. I have a question for you to start out with. How are we to understand, how are we to properly process what it says there in verse 1 about names written in what it says there, the book? Well, I think it's pretty clear that this particular context relative to actual people is a context focused and fixed on the nation of Israel, God's chosen people, Israel. So does that mean then that there is this book in which there are just Jewish names in it? I don't think so. I don't think that that's the focus, but the talking about the people of Israel at this time, but the book is something broader, something greater, something wider. something that has more names than just Jewish names in it. I think Daniel's here being told about a book wherein if your name is written in it, that you will have the hope of everlasting life. However, on the other side of that coin, if your name is not in that book, you do not have the hope of everlasting life, but according to it, your destiny will be everlasting contempt, shame, and everlasting contempt. And of course, I think this one truth extends beyond just Jewish people to include all people. I think the Bible is crystal clear on that and not just figurative. There really are books to concern ourselves with. So I didn't want to just blow past that this morning. I don't want to spend all of our time on it on the same token, but just so that we're aware that there are some books. Now, my personal theological predisposition is premillennial. In other words, I think Jesus is coming before a time called the 1,000-year reign of Christ. I think Jesus is coming before then. And I think that as a part of that coming, there's an event called the rapture of the church, because I'm a premillennialist or a pre-tribulationist. I believe that Jesus is coming before a time that Daniel is speaking about here in this text that we're going to get into. A 7-year period of time, a time of trouble, as we just read. And that the Lord is going to come for us. But that and $1.50 or maybe $5, depending on if it's here or California, will buy you a cup of coffee, right? Because it really doesn't matter per se if your views are different than those of mine concerning the coming of Jesus. But what is concerning, what concerns me as your pastor, and what ought to concern you is your name written in the book? That ought to be of great and deep concern to each and every one of us, not just for ourselves, but for those that we know and that we love, our family members, our friends, this community round about us, our state and our nation. Is your name written in the book? Well, some would say that just sounds like maybe Daniel's lingered a little bit too long at the pipe. But friends, that's not the case. Daniel's not on some, you know, I've smoked too much peyote and we're on a little trip out here in the la-la land. And because he's actually reading out of God's playbook. That's important to take note of. And the follow-up question is, are they looking at this at a timeline that we can trust in, one that we know that is coming, that we can guarantee that it's going to happen exactly as it says in Daniel that it's going to happen? But, you know, Daniel's not the only witness. Our Lord and Savior Jesus witnessed to this very thing, and it's recorded for us in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 21. Louis, would you put that up on the screen for us? Matthew 24 and 21. Jesus is with his disciples, and this is what they call the Olivet Discourse. He's up on the Mount of Olives between his triumphal entry and his crucifixion in that week, maybe somewhere along Tuesday or Wednesday of what we would call Holy Week. And Jesus is in a discourse with his disciples, and he's talking with them. And you can read the verses leading up to verse 21, but here's what he says in verse 21. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. Jesus was really quoting what Daniel was telling us about there in verse 1. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble. Jesus called it a time of great tribulation. They are equal terms, a time of trouble and a time of great tribulation. Such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And that at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one of them, that shall be found written in the book. Ironclad evidence to us that there is a time of trouble coming. I wouldn't subscribe to the theology of that which we might call the thief on the cross. I wouldn't wait until it's almost too late before I made a decision to trust Christ as my Lord and Savior. Because you don't know when that moment will come. As far as I've read in the Bible, there was only one thief on the cross. Only one. But some have kind of put all their eggs in that basket. I can just put it off. You know, I can put off those things. It's not that important. I'm a young person. I've got my entire life to live. You don't know what your life is. The scripture says it is but a mist and a vapor. You are here today and gone tomorrow. So we ought to pay very close and careful attention to these things and have those accounts settled early so that then we can live our life to the glory of God. And I pray that you live a long and prosperous life. But do so to the glory of God. Earlier in that same chapter in Matthew, Jesus was talking in some detail about the time that he mentioned later there in verse 21 about tribulation. We don't have time this morning to catalog everything, to go into every verse, but just one, verse 8. Louis, would you put verse 8 up there? And all these are the beginnings of sorrows. All these what? Well, you'll have to read the verses for yourself. But all of the things that he talked about, wars and rumors of wars and famines and pestilence and all kinds of crazy, outrageous, disturbing things happening. He says, all these are the beginnings of sorrows. In some commentaries, in some versions, it references it to birth pains. Birth pains. Ladies, birth pains. You know, birth pains happens before birth. Well, I'm sure they're happening at the same time that birth is happening, but birth pains are the things that come prior to the great event. On the front end of that. Jesus said there's going to be some things happening on the front end of all of that before he comes and before this time of trouble that Daniel is trying to speak to us about here this morning. And I believe the Spirit of God wants to gather and garner our attention to here today. Contractions. I've never had a contraction, and I say, thank the Lord. But some of y'all have. And you know exactly what those are. And tell me, are you just excited about each and every one? Can't wait for it to happen again. No, I can't wait for it to be over. For the event to happen. The birth. Well, what Jesus is talking about is the birth of this time. In pulpits today all across our great nation, you know, because we live in the most affluent nation on the face of the earth. Pastors will get in the pulpits and they're going to spend their time trying to convince people that the reason that we are here as Christians is that we would live in health and wealth and prosperity. Now, friends, listen. I believe that the Bible teaches us and gives a solid teaching on health and wealth and prosperity. But not to the exclusion of that we should open up the scriptures where it teaches us about how we should conduct business going forward. Not upon ourselves, not just for ourselves, not to be consumed upon our own lusts. We're not just here for our best life now. But we're here to be as ambassadors and as missionaries. And his emissaries, and his messengers, and his church to speak to the needs of a lost and dying world. And you know, much of this lost and dying world called America lives in affluence, lives in tremendous pots of wealth. But what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? So we have to take those teachings on health and wealth and prosperity and hold them up to the perspective of God's word as how we should live going forward and what it means, how those things should turn into ministry opportunities and ways to bless people and to retrieve people out from the darkness of this present world. And so Daniel has given us a no-nonsense, unvarnished look into those things. Starting in the fifth verse and then down through the end, we read these words. Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, and there stood another two, one on this side of the bank of the river, and the other on that side of the bank of the river. And one said to the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? Even the angelic messengers, even those in the unseen realm, besides God alone, do not have all of the answers about how things are going to unfold. Some things God keeps and he plays them, as they say, close to the vest. He doesn't reveal them until his purpose and plan is ready to unfold. I am fine with that because I know that when God unfolds his plan, it is going to be perfect. It is going to be powerful. It is going to be profound. It is going to be redemptive in nature. So he doesn't just share everything. You know, he doesn't get on the hotline and just gossip and share everything that he possibly can. Some things he holds close so that not even the angels know. In fact, when Jesus was here, when Jesus was walking in the flesh, he said, not even the Son knows. Now, I think Jesus knows now as he's sitting next to the right hand of the Father. I think the Godhead knows exactly when things are going to happen. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit knows when all of this is going to unfold. And I say that to say this, no preacher knows. I don't care how slick they are. I don't care how they surround themselves, how many times they tell you that they know, that they know, that they know. Guess what? They don't. They don't. And so how are we to reconcile that? Our job is to trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not on thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. So we're to trust him. When things look like they're going absolutely off the rails, we're to trust him. And I heard the man clothed in linen, verse 7 says, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, it shall be for a time, times and a half. And when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. Well, what kind of code language is that? A time, a times and a half. Well, friends, I don't have the time to go into all the details this morning, but it essentially boils out to 3.5 years. If you take these verses and you compare them across the spectrum of the prophetic, all the verses relating to the end times, it is a 3.5 year period. It is the last 3.5 years of a 7-year-long period that Jesus called Great Tribulation. If you remember back in Daniel chapter 9, Daniel set forth that timeline, that time frame. You might have to go back and revisit that and take a look at that and refresh yourself. But it's essentially 3.5 years. And after 3.5 years, all these things shall be finished. But I understood not. Friends, I'm telling you, when I think about it, As much as I would grasp of a 3.5 year period, I still have absolutely no idea how it's going to unfold in totality. I just know that it's going to happen. Amen. He said, I didn't understand. I don't blame him. It's not easy to completely understand. Then I said, oh, my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? Inquiring minds want to know, right? People want to know. You know, if you're faced with some devastating news, wouldn't you want to know what the outcomes might be? What one of us would not? When Paul himself was faced with his thorn in the flesh, you remember that? Paul was writing, he said, I had a thorn in the flesh. The scholars tell us that it was an eye issue. You know, they didn't have corrective measures in the first century. Paul couldn't go down to the optometrist, get himself a pair of glasses, you know, so that he could see properly. He couldn't have cataracts removed. He couldn't have, you know, retinal implants. I mean, none of that stuff that we have today. Thank the Lord that we have that today. Friends, if I didn't have these, it would all be ad lib because I couldn't read a thing on the page. In fact, all of you look like sticks out there, practically. Not sticks in the mud, and I didn't say that. So I'm grateful for that. But Paul had a thorn in the flesh. And the scriptures tell us that he prayed 3 times for the Lord to remove that infirmity from him. Now, friends, of all the people that I know in scripture who had clout with God, whose prayers were effectual and fervent and righteous, certainly Paul's were. What did God say to him? Paul, go thy way. My grace is sufficient for thee. And Paul went on his way. And I don't think he ever returned to that prayer request again. Because he knew that God's grace was sufficient for him. Well, friends, if God's grace is sufficient for Paul, is not his grace sufficient for you and for I? Yes. That doesn't mean we should just sit back and fold our hands necessarily, but it means that we understand that God's grace is sufficient. And walk in the light of his provision, whatever it might be, going forward. Well, let me finish. Verse 9 says, and he said, go thy way. That's almost the same thing as Paul hearing, my grace is sufficient. Go thy way. Now, friends, if we had to give an assessment of Daniel's way, Daniel's asking, when are all these things going to happen? And what's going to be the final outcome of things? And on and on and on. Can you give me a long list here of answers? The answer came back, go thy way. What is Paul, or what is Daniel's way? It's the way of righteousness. It's a way of trust. It's a way of faith. I mean, we've already gone through 11 chapters. Is there any doubt in your mind about the faithfulness of this man? About the things that he went through that would probably kill all of us if we went through them? That God provided for him? Come on. Hello. Yes. Yes, he is a righteous man. He is a man after God's own heart, like David was. He is a child of the living God. And so when God says, go thy way, he wasn't just going his own way, but he was going God's way. And so what would I say to you? I would say the same thing, go thy way, but let it not be your way. Let it be God's way. And you want to know what God's way is? You got to get into the book, people. You got to open it up. You got to brush up on some things, maybe. You got to reinforce yourself. You got to fortify your heart and your mind and your soul with the things recorded in the Word of God. It tells us in Romans chapter 12 that we ought to be renewed. We ought to not be conformed to this world, but we need to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. That happens in here. That happens between these pages. Go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed. They're closed up and they're sealed until the time of the end. Now, I wonder about that. Now, wasn't Daniel the kind of guy that was trustworthy? Could God trust Daniel with his word? Well, yes, he could. But again, God placed some things very close to the vest. He's not going to tip his hand until the time is right. When the call is made, God will show what he's going to do. In the meantime, trust him. They're sealed up to the time of the end. Now we know that there was a man waiting in the wings after Daniel, John the Revelator. John the Revelator picks up where, we'll say, where Daniel leaves off and brings the whole thing in home in the book of Revelation. And in the time between what Daniel heard, that the thing is closed until the time of the end, verse 10 says, many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do what? They'll do wickedly. And none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. And from that time, the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate is set up. There shall be 1,290 days. What's that? Well, if you do the math, that's like 3.5 years. A time times and a half. There's a time coming, folks, marked out on God's calendar. Blessed is he that waiteth until the coming of the 1,335 days. So 1,335 days. So the difference between 1,335 and 1,290 is pi r squared, 45 days. 45 days. What's going to happen in those 45 days? I have no earthly idea. But it says, blessed are those who hang around until those 45 days are over. God is in control of all things. He's in control of the craziness that's going on in our midst in these days. He is the sovereign God of the universe. He's not taken by surprise in any of these things. He has his plans for us fully mapped out. But go thy way to the end. For thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of the days. Friends, the best thing I can tell you is keep on keeping on to the end. Stay faithful from now until such a time, till either Jesus calls you home or takes you home in death or comes and raptures us away and takes us out of here. Be faithful. Go thy way. There is but one way, and you know who prescribed it? Jesus. He said, I'm the way. Walk in the light and in the love of Jesus Christ. Will you please stand to your feet with me today? Well, that concludes our time in the book of Daniel. Is there more to say? Well, if you gave me a couple hours, sure, there would be plenty more to say. But we won't do that today. We're going to let you go. We've touched on a few things in these 12 chapters, just a few, not everything, but just a few. There's more there for us to understand. There's more there for this preacher to understand. But I understand this much. God is good. God is good. Even when things look like they're really, really bad, just know that they're really, really good because God is in control of all things. Amen. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, today we thank you in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, I pray we're refreshed by your presence, by your spirit, by your word, even though we've read some very disturbing things. We heard Jesus talk about a time of tribulation such as never was since there was time. And Lord, when I think about that, when my mind goes back in history, I'm thinking about the flood. That was a horrible time. When I think about an event like 9/11, wow. Or maybe an October 7th, which happened in Israel. How about those 2 days in August in 1945 when atomic bombs were dropped on the island nation of Japan? Certainly those are all very disturbing telltale signs of trouble, great trouble. But Lord, it seems that there's trouble coming that we have not seen. It's like you're saying, you ain't seen nothing yet. But Lord, we're resting in your provision for us. Not just comfortable, Lord, in it, but resting in it. But Lord, knowing there's a world round about us that needs to have the comfort of your salvation, of your love, of knowing, is their name in the book of life? Lord, help us to take the message with us to be your ambassadors and your emissaries. Friend, if you're here today and you're not sure if your name is written in the book of life, how can I be sure that my name is written in the book of life? And if it's not, can I still be penciled in yet? Well, I believe the answer to that question is yes, you can be. The Bible says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And the Bible also says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Jesus said, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many mansions. I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Friend, you can have the assurance of everlasting life by turning from your sin and from yourself and asking the sovereign God of the universe, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to save you. He's already done the work. The work's been finished. Trust him if you haven't. If you're watching via the live stream today, don't turn it off. Don't walk away. Don't put it off. If you've never trusted him as your Savior, trust him now. And if you have, rejoice. Rejoice, for your names are written in heaven. Father, as we go, Lord, today, as we take what we've received this morning and take it with us out into the day, back here again into the evening for a time of thanksgiving, out into the new week ahead, Father, may it be that we're a blessing. May it be that we're your church, not just a bunch of historians gathering together for a history lesson, but that we're Christians, followers of Jesus. Be blessed in our scattering. In Jesus' name, amen.